At the end of the day, it's up to the panel to decide what the outcome will be.
That is not acceptable as a professional athlete these days.
You can't assume that that is the way of the world now.
I've just seen too many times recently where he's just been hit.
We just don't have that sort of foot on the throat where we really just put teams away.
He looked twice the player when Ponga's on the field as well. Yeah.
On the Big Sports Breakfast, time now for Pressing Matters.
Yes, Pressing Matters on a Tuesday, and the Bunnies, well, it was a very ordinary Saturday for them, wasn't it, there at a core stadium, 34-4, the loss to the Warriors, and Latrell Mitchell now out for 3 weeks after that forearm to Sean Johnson's head, and he had that lifting tackle that he was involved in as well. So, Cameron Murray, always difficult facing the media in the press conference after you've had an ordinary loss. Let's just recap what he had to say, the South's captain, after the loss to the Warriors on Saturday in relation to a couple of those incidents involving Mitchell.
Latrell, he's got some good self-reflection, and he normally knows what he needs to change before anyone tells him. So, but yeah, passing by conversations won't hurt. So pretty fresh after the game now, but something to think about over the weekend, I think.
That's Cameron Murray post-match there on Saturday. And I just do wonder, Loz, internally, how much everything's wearing thin there at Souths. How happy are they?
Oh, I think everyone wants to know what state the group is in and how supportive are they of each other, and whether rumours that there's a divide is true. The only way you can shut people up is by performing on the field and making sure that all your actions are done in the best interest of the team. And I think at the moment, there's some people trying hard, there's other people that are frustrated. And what happened on the weekend in particular with that action from Latrell, that was just out of frustration, I think. He didn't need to do it, and he's let his teammates down, you know, when they need him most. And that's the problem with South at the moment. They're all probably going around trying to thinking they're solving the problem and all knowing what the answer is. But I don't think they've all come together as a group and decided that we've got to change the narrative of this club, and we've got to get on and we've got to play strong football, and we've got to do what the coach is telling us to do, and we've just got to make it happen. And you've got to be desperate when you get on that football field. I haven't seen that often this year.
And you know, just how it's going to hurt all their individual representative aspirations. You look at players like, well, obviously Cookie, Colin Matangi, who is an incumbent.
There's not many that will get picked in representative football at the moment. With the way they're going. And if they've got aspirations of playing Origin, well, they've got, 6 weeks to shape up, or they'll miss the boat because there's other people in their positions playing a lot better. But that's far from their concern at the moment. Their concern is they're playing for their club and they're playing for their coach. And at the moment, Jason Demetrio would be tearing his hair out thinking, what do I do to get the best out in these players? He's probably tried everything. But at the end of the day, it's your position as a footy player to go out there and give it your all. That's what you're signed up to do. Regardless of what distractions are going on around your club, you've got to get yourself in the best possible shape. You've got to have the best preparation during the week, and you've got to go out there and nail your job. And that's not happening.
Well, we saw a controversial try awarded in the Manly Penrith game at Four Pines on Saturday. Tolu Kola for Manly ran away with it after it appeared to be a knock-on in the lead-up. Let's hear what Graeme Ennersley had to say about it at his weekly briefing yesterday.
A lot of the debate about this has been generated by people saying, well, referees have always ruled that sort of thing as a knock-on. So it hasn't been so much a criticism of what actually happened here. It's more by way of comparison to other incidents that have happened previously. So, you know, I've been one who, over many years, have been quite critical at times of referees, you know, saying every time the ball hits the deck, it's a knock-on. You know, at times you would have thought that knockbacks disappeared from our game.
Graeme Ennersley there yesterday, just as coaches defend their players often post-match, Graeme Ennersley's often defending the referees.
I think he makes a fair point, though. I think because of what we've seen in the past, that's a knock on every day of the week. But what are we going to see this week? What are we going to see if it happens again? Is it just the luck of the draw? That's when people get confused, and that's when Graham will have to front up again.
That's as knock on as a knock on.
That's a knock
on. Do you like the setup with Narelle and Graham Mattersley coming out and explaining, I guess, decisions like? Do you like the setup, or would you rather? You know what? Just people are going to have their beef anyway. People are going to call it a knock on or be peed off with the decision, and just let it slide. Or do you like the system that you come out and actually front it and explain to the fans the reason
behind? I never really thought about it, to be honest with you. But I take my hat off to them for coming out and putting their hand up and owning a mistake when it happens. I like that. Yeah. But
we should never complain about transparency.
No. But this decision there. And as I said, he makes a fair point, because I think at times we've all gone, mate, that's not a knock-on, but they rule it a knock-on. So we've just become accustomed to seeing that and going, that's a knock-on. That was a knock-on for mine every day of the week. Every day of the week.
Without a doubt.
And I know there's some people that would say, oh, well, it wasn't a knock-on. And technically they might be right if you look at the angles and where the ball came out of his hand and whether it went forwards or whether it went backwards. But, mate, that's been ruled a knock-on for as long as I can remember.
100-plus years it's been a knock-on. Okay. Now, Debbie Kapitis, of course, buying the Winx filly by Piero yesterday for $10 million. Let's have a listen to Kapitis after the sale.
To have been able to secure this filly on behalf of my family, to be able to hopefully see if she can get to the racetrack. If she can't get to the racetrack, she'll be an amazing mum. She's Australian forever, and she's going to be just fabulous.
And that should be celebrated. Debbie Kapitis there yesterday, because certainly John Stewart, this American tycoon, he gave every indication he was going to buy the filly, and he said he'd go to $9 million, and he did. He just didn't go to 10. So she stays in Australia, the Winx filly. But, I saw a few people, I think it was Tom Magner there yesterday. It is a great credit to our industry that we have that sort of international interest, willing to put up their hand.
Yeah.
And I was thinking actually yesterday back to, Matt Stewart, the UK commentator, sort of, oh, she hasn't beaten anything, she's no good, and all that sort of commentary. Well, she must be all right. If someone wants to pay $10 million for it, and an underbidder from the United States wants to put up $9 million for a progeny.
Oh, yeah, but there would be some people that would say that that's too expensive. There will be people that say that that's too expensive. What is it? The beauty is in the eye of the beholder. And if you want something, and you go and get it, you'll think it's cheap. You will think it's cheap.
You can justify it, can't you?
Oh, most definitely.
And it's all relative. That's the other thing as well. To the rest of us, we're sitting going, what, $10 million bucks? But, mate, $10 million to, I don't know, someone that's worth a hell of a lot more than all of us, it's all relative.
Yeah, and I'm happy that she's bought it, and I'm happy that she got so much satisfaction out of Winx. And the love that's been developed between her and the horse, and then I wouldn't say it's an impulse buy on the day, but leading into that sale, she was like, oh, I don't want this to go to anyone else, So it just shows that love that people get attached to with an animal. And she was so emotional. I don't think I would have saw or seen anyone that emotional after buying a horse. So you could see what it meant to her.
Gosh, and just a reminder that Winx is in fold a schnitzel. If it's a colt, after watching that go for $10 million yesterday. Oh, I mean, geez.
Well, here, hypothetically.
But then again,
I'm going to go a hypothetical.
It may never go through the ring if it's a colt.
Yeah.
Coolmore bought Justify for $100 million Australian. And at the moment, that's looking like it could be a decent. Well, their investment was absolute, and their. It's going very well as a stallion at the moment.
All right.
Early days still.
Well, I'll give you a hypothetical. All right. This filly comes out and wins first race. Wins the first race and then put her out, have a bit of a rest, and then comes back in and looking like very promising horse, wins the next start. And then it's a colt, her next progeny. What price?
Again, and you don't know what's going on with the owners behind the scenes, but probably will never go through the ring. But say it does.
So if the filly looks as though she's going to be good.
Look, I'll start at 20. Wow. I'll start at double.
Wow.
But gosh, who knows? By then, mind boggles.